All right, welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18th floor, high above downtown Chicago. And my guest this morning is Jim Ryan, and he writes about music for Forbes, the Daily Herald, and his Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. He joins us periodically to talk about music and concerts and stuff that he's writing about and interviews that he's doing. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. So the last time you were here, was it just before Lollapalooza?
Yeah, just before.
How did it go?
It was good. This year was interesting. I think attendance was down Thursday and Sunday. There were, you know, some widely publicized issues moving tickets this year, which has been kind of a theme in the U.S. amongst, like, the festivals. There's been, we've achieved, I think, festival glut.
Yeah.
So it's been that question of how do you stand out from the crowded pack. Some festivals are doing that better than others. We'll see how they respond next year.
Well, I understand that Riot Fest actually was very good this year.
Riot Fest was fantastic, yeah. But it became the subject of this vicious online rumor mill in the weeks leading up to the festival.
Leading up to Riot Fest?
Yeah, because they were late publishing the festival schedule. There were rumors that some of the headliners were going to drop out. That wound up being true. Blink-182 dropped out the week of the festival.
They did?
Due to ongoing health problems with Travis Barker.
Does anybody know what's going on?
Nah, it's been... There's all kinds of stuff, I guess, but again, they dropped out and were replaced by Weezer. The last week of the festival, they wound up adding to replace bands. They added Weezer, Run the Jewels, and Taking Back Sunday. Blink-182 dropped off. There were rumors about whether Elvis Costello was going to show up or not because he had canceled his whole summer tour following a cancer scare. He was there.
But he did show up. I heard he was great.
He was. He was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it became this kind of vicious thing about is it even going to happen? Because then there were rumors about their permits and stuff. It was a whole
It was a
toxic online word of mouth thing in the weeks leading up to it. But they pulled it off. It was great.
There was something toxic online.
Can you believe it? On social media, of all places,
on social media,
Nick,
there was something
on Twitter.
On Twitter, there was something toxic. On Facebook,
yeah, I know.
Oh my God!
And here's the crazy part of it: people wound up being wrong.
No,
I know.
How would...
Imagine that.
I can't believe... Oh, my God.
The social media prognosticators were incorrect and basing assumptions on infactual information.
I can't believe that.
I know.
I'm completely stunned. you know what? You were here after.
Yeah, I think it was after. Yeah, we did
after,
talk
because we
bit
talked about it. We talked about... Yeah, right, Dan? He was here after.
I think so.
Yeah. No, you were.
My memory's foggy.
I know.
At best.
Well, me too. Me too.
Because we talked about LL Cool J.
Yes, LL Cool.
Big ups,
oh my gosh,
to Jim,
yes.
On Twitter after the interview was, you know, posted.
That's
and,
right.
Coming out and starting with "Mama Said Knock You Out."
Yeah.
In my opinion, we can never talk about that too much.
No, I know. And
big
also,
ups.
But the reason why it just sort of came to me was that I was going to ask how attendance was at Riot Fest, and then I remembered that attendance was pretty bad on Thursday and Sunday at Lollapalooza,
so,
and we talked about that the last time you were here.
I was curious about what the attendance was going to be like at Riot Fest, because in addition to all of the stuff we talked about, they didn't put single-day tickets on sale until Tuesday, the week of the festival, I think.
What?
Yeah, it was like, that's what I mean. Like, there was a lot of weird stuff this year with their schedule not coming out until the week of the show. I think they had some difficulties to overcome, but they did. And attendance looked great to me. There was no drop off. There was no noticeable drop off, at least in my opinion. It was packed early on Friday, and Saturday and Sunday was even crazier.
Well,
so.
You know, on my whatever, you know, my news feeds are, my social media is, the people who I am friends with who are part of my news feed, I got more posts on my news feed about Riot Fest than I did Lollapalooza.
Yeah, to me the attendance looked great. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens next year. There were all kinds of bad rumors about the festival, but they ended with "We'll see you next year." So.
Well,
that was encouraging.
Isn't Riot Fest sort of consistently better than Lollapalooza?
In my opinion, yeah. And what I love about Riot Fest and why I kind of give them a pass on some of this stuff, like waiting till the last minute with the schedule, is because, you know, they consistently want nothing to do with the giant conglomerates. They've fought off being taken over by the, you know, the giant promoters who would suck all the, you know, uniqueness out of that festival. They've avoided all of that. And I think they do more for the area they're in and have done so for the past 6 years since it's been an outdoor festival than certainly something like Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were great to the community when they were in Humble Park, and they're great to the community now that are in Douglas Park in the North Lawndale neighborhood. So
yeah,
so I think it's a terrific thing to have in Chicago, and I think there's a lot of benefits.
I think people appreciate Pitchfork and Riot Fest more.
I would agree with that.
At least people who really care about music
and fans. Yeah,
exactly. I think they care more about Pitchfork and Riot Fest. And that seems to make sense to me. I don't go.
Sure.
But, you know, I cover it, and I cover it with you, and I see who's going to be there and all that stuff, and I get the reactions from people who go. And it seems to me that consistently Pitchfork and Riot Fest are usually, you know, and the people who are you know, as we were saying, this the glut of fests, like people are like, I'm sick of fests.
Right.
I think it's because of Lollapalooza.
I think they're a big reason. It's certainly festivals like Lollapalooza where they're a huge national brand. I mean, I think arguably nationwide they would be one of the two biggest festival brands, right? Lollapalooza and Coachella.
Yeah.
And you get festivals like that, and you look at these lineups for these festivals nationwide, and they look almost exactly the same throughout the country. And it begs the question, why would you travel here? Why would you travel there when you can find something that's a little bit more of a unique experience? And I think Riot Fest provides that, at least locally.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk about Riot Fest and what you saw.
Sure.
A little bit. We got to take a break here for the news. Jim Ryan is with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan, and you can read him in Forbes, the Daily Herald, and his Chicago Now blog is Chicago at Night. And lots of shows that you've seen, lots of artists we got to talk about as well. So hang out there, Jim. All right. Jim Ryan is with us. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, it's going to be news time. All right, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday! Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Request them now. We'll play them a little bit later on. We are going to be talking about the Philadelphia Flyers' new mascot, Gritty. Jim Ryan is with us. We're talking about music. He writes for Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now blog at Chicago at Night. We're here. We're going to talk about a bunch of the stuff that he's seen and interviews he's done. Have you seen Gritty yet?
I have not. No.
The Philadelphia Flyers' new mascot. They unveiled him yesterday.
Okay.
He made quite a stir.
Wow.
when you see him, you'll realize why he made quite a stir. He made his debut at a preseason game last night in Philadelphia on home ice. Made quite a spectacle of himself.
In what way?
I'm going to get to that later.
Okay.
Let's just say the footage is out there of his on-ice debut. Well,
I've got a photo here now. Okay.
You see Gritty?
He looks kind of like a fry guy.
He looks insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I happen to have it. I don't know if you know this or not, Jim, but I happen to have a thing for mascots.
Remember the JoJo.
Yes. JoJo rules. But I just they crack me up like mascots. I laugh. There he is. That's him.
Wow,
that's the best picture. Isn't that a great picture?
He does look kind of certifiable. There.
It's terrifying. It's almost like, hey, you know what our mascot is? The Babadook is our mascot. He's a colorful. There, that's him right there.
And I've got a photo here. Yeah, this must be from the game last night, where he looks like he might be dead.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
He lived to tell, though.
Yes, he did.
That's
so we're going to talk a little bit about him and mascots in general. And did you know that that this week the movie Dazed and Confused celebrates its 25th anniversary?
Wow, that's crazy.
Does that make you feel old?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that movie, which is just a classic, and then great teen movies in general. That's all coming up on the show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Before we get back to the music stuff, Dan... Jim and I were having a conversation about Burt Reynolds off the air.
Yes.
And as you know, Jim posted something pretty special on his Facebook page regarding Burt Reynolds.
Yes, this is spectacular.
And when I read it, when I read the thing that you wrote, I almost fell off the chair laughing. Tell everybody about your post. And this was like at Burt Reynolds passed away last week.
Right.
And he was the best. He was the king. Burt Reynolds was awesome. But you have a special item that involved Burt Reynolds.
And I moved 2 weeks ago, and I promise you that this is in a box that is yet to be unpacked.
Mm-hmm.
So when I find it, I will make sure you have it.
Okay.
But we're going back to when I was at Columbia College. So 2001, about 2000, 2001.
Uh-huh.
Some friends and I were at a Salvation Army thrift store on Broadway in the North Center neighborhood, uptown, up there.
I know exactly where you're
south of Montrose there.
Yep.
And, you know, we were just looking around for random stuff, as college students would be wont to do. When I found a 4-cassette book on tape, literally book on cassette.
Yeah.
Of Burt Reynolds narrating Moby Dick, the Herman Melville classic. Four cassettes for 75 cents.
Now, see, that's a purchase you make.
That, absolutely.
You don't even think.
And you keep.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I can make 75 cents, man.
That's gotten packed in so many boxes during so many moves now. You know, you purge stuff as you move.
Because you can't get rid of that.
You don't throw away the Burt Reynolds.
You don't throw away Burt Reynolds narrating Moby Dick on 4 cassettes.
Right.
Which you got for 75 cents.
Even if you have no ability to play that cassette anymore, you keep it.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Now, you said that you guys would rewind the Call Me Ishmael part over and over again.
He does it in this ridiculous, high-pitched voice that I'm not even... I imitated it off the air. I'm not going to imitate it on the air. But it's so ridiculous. Yes, Burt Reynolds saying Call Me Ishmael, and it's quite funny.
And you said that it's also... It has bad storm sound effects.
Oh, yeah, they include all kinds of sound effects. It's quite ridiculous. It's a whole production.
You have to find it.
And I just think I have like this mental image of like Bert on the sound set, you know, with the headphones on, hearing the sound effects.
Mustache. Toupee.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Having probably just finished a cigarette, like, okay, let's go.
That's fantastic.
Page 97, take 6.
Narrating Moby Dick on 4 cassettes. So that's a pretty special Burt Reynolds piece of memorabilia right there.
Not everyone has that, but I did search on eBay, which is where I got the photos I posted on Facebook. There are copies out there available on eBay.
It's out there. Mm-hmm. All right, for those people who want to get Burt Reynolds narrating
who
Moby
need it
Dick.
Now. Incredibly, I couldn't find it on YouTube. That was the bummer.
Yeah, nobody's recorded it on YouTube.
I have not seen it. I could not find a copy of it online.
Okay. All right. Hey, Dan, we have the ability to transfer cassettes to
we do indeed.
Flash drives and stuff, right? Okay.
I now have a goal for this week.
Oh, absolutely. No, I need to have that sound drop on this show of Burt Reynolds narrating stuff from Moby Dick.
I can assist with that.
Thank you very much. All right, anyway, that was an aside we were talking about off the air, but I had to bring it up because that's how do you not bring that up? Riot Fest, what were the highlights for you?
What I love about Riot Fest is that, unlike a lot of festivals, there are great acts early in the day. That act is a really good reason for you to get there at 1:30 or 2 o'clock when gates open. On Friday, for instance, Liz Phair was one of the second artists on at 2:10 p.m.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, she's playing two nights at the Metro.
At the Metro, I saw that. Is it two nights now?
They added a second show.
A couple weeks, yeah.
It's
I think the 13th,
October,
maybe?
Yeah, it's the middle of October.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So she was good.
Does she have a new album?
She has, I think, like a retrospective out. I think it's
that
called
makes sense.
From the Girly Sound to Guyville or something like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think it's a retrospective. She just did an anniversary show at Empty Bottle a couple of months ago. And then the Riot Fest appearance, and she'll be back at Metro.
Was there an anniversary for Guyville?
25 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 93. I know.
Same year as Dazed.
I know. Liz is 51. The album is 25 years old.
I don't even know what to say, man.
I know.
I am old.
It's my childhood. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
It's something.
Yeah. So anyway, was she good?
Yeah, 4-piece backing band. She was good. You know, did a bunch from Exile and Guyville, which is always nice. During the divorce song, swapped out her harmonica solo for a ripping guitar solo for the festival crowd.
Look at that.
Did a lot off there. Did 6'1", did Stratford on Guy.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a fun set. Did her work her other hits in. Opened with Supernova, and that was good.
I saw her in her heyday, even before her heyday.
Okay.
Because, you know, like before Guyville came out, everybody knew who she was. If you hung out in Wicker Park, you knew
right,
Liz Phair.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
You basically knew her.
Okay.
Even if you didn't know her, you knew Liz Phair.
Sure.
If you were anywhere near Wicker Park in the early 90s.
Right.
There you go. But I've seen her a bunch of times. I think she's great.
I've always loved her.
Even when she went through the poppy thing.
You know what? She did that poppy stuff really well. She played her song Extraordinary, and I love that song.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing to me that
she caught
album
a lot of
so
flack
dissed.
For that.
Yeah,
you
big
know,
time.
From the hardcore original fans, She caught a lot of. She caught a lot. What was it? White. What the hell was it? White egg.
White, white chocolate white, space white egg. That was the one with Polyester Bride. Yeah, but that extraordinary album where she was working with this, a lot of songwriters who wrote for Avril Lavigne and artists like that. She took a lot of flack for that.
She did.
But she's one of those artists who's in a total no-win situation. I mean, if she kept writing these introspective songs like Exile in Guyville, we'd be going, why? How come she doesn't? You know, move forward.
Yeah.
So she tries different stuff, and then people go, why isn't it? I mean, she can't win.
You can't win. A lot of artists they have to go through.
Yeah.
That. All right. So who else? Who else did you see?
There was a local band on Friday called Blood People that I love, but missed due to poor driving skills of a rideshare driver, but they're fantastic. They were on right before Liz Phair. What else did we had Pussy Riot, which was really interesting because you had literally only days before that performance that alleged poisoning of one of their members in Russia.
Oh, right.
And so it became, again, this giant question mark of whether they were even going to show up, and they did, and they turned their performance into a whole... more so than the songs, they had a pre-recorded, translated to English list of 25 points they wanted to hit that hit on everything from the poisoning to the impact of the wealth gap in the U.S. and how that affects democracy.
Wow.
They turned it into a major political kind of art piece, and it was really fascinating. Pretty well.
There was
a huge crowd over there.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay.
But so that it was timely as well. So that was really interesting.
It's interesting though, like, you know, to go down that route so thoroughly, you might lose some of the crowd.
You know, I think that's the one festival where you can get away with it. Certainly locally.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away with that at Lollapalooza.
That's true.
They would never even get booked at Lollapalooza.
No,
we don't have to worry about it.
Right.
But that's one of the things I love about Riot Fest. They were there in 2014. And they just did a spoken word panel that was moderated by Henry Rollins. He asked them questions about their imprisonment at that time. They had just gotten, I think, out of a Russian jail. But they talked on stage this year, too, about like the price they have paid for, you know, making controversial statements.
Right.
You know, in Russia.
Right.
And it was timely and it was pretty fascinating.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that was great Friday. We also had Matt and Kim, who I love. Are you familiar with them?
I am, yes.
I think they're the perfect festival group. They're so energetic, they're fun, they're engaging, they're everything you really want in a short, quick burst of energy festival set.
Yeah.
So they were fantastic. Kim had torn her ACL, I believe, on stage about a year ago.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to say there.
No, but so she's back already and has lost none of the energy.
Okay. Right.
Standing up, balancing on the drum kit, the whole thing.
Yards.
Yeah, so she was good.
Okay, cool.
Flogging Molly was Friday. They're always fun in the festival setting. Diggable Planets.
Oh, I love those guys.
I saw them in 2005 at Lollapalooza, and they were back at Riot Fest this year.
I love those guys. Were they good?
They were good.
Yeah.
Keep them all connected.
Yeah. No, I love those guys, man. I love the... See, this, whenever they pull those kind of acts out, I get real happy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's the thing they do. Like... I think you and I have talked about this in the past. Like, you can feel the hand of a music fan in their bookings.
Sure.
Every year.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I think makes that festival unique.
Yeah. That's cool.
You had Bleachers there, which is Jack Antonoff from Fun, who's now produced every pop star on the planet. Weezer was the headlining, Taking Back Sunday and the Dropkick Murphys, Cypress Hill. Face-to-face. A ton of bands there.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And that was all
Friday.
That was just Friday.
That's just Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, again, well, Riot Fest always has that deep lineup. They always give you a reason to get there at 1 in the afternoon when the gates open.
Yeah. Okay. And did you go all 3 days?
I did. I went all 3 days.
Okay. What were the highlights on Saturday?
Saturday we've got, let's see here, the Frights. They were very good. Let's see here. Gary Newman.
And you interviewed Gary.
I did interview Gary Newman. Yeah, he was on at 3:30 in the afternoon. I can't imagine the last time he played when the sun was out.
Yeah,
but that was great. He's got a new album out now, and he kind of addresses the not quite the political climate, but he addresses the whole global warming thing and kind of put it together an album based on, you know, what could be coming down the line if we don't rein that problem in. And he has a real industrial sound now. It sounds like early Nine Inch Nails. So it doesn't sound like Cars if you're thinking the one song you'd know. It was great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he was interesting. Elsewhere, Killing Joke was the big reunion this year.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So they were back together. They performed on Saturday. And then Elvis Costello.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah. He's amazing live.
Full Hour and just kind of went through, you know, his murderer's row of hits. And I think he's got a new album coming out, too. So that's productive despite
that
cancer
scare. And he
was
backed by the Imposters, right?
The Imposters. So Steve Naif is there on organ, and as long as you have that, I think
Elvis
fans are happy.
I've seen Elvis Costello a few times. The best was at the Riv. He did two nights at the Riv. This was I can't remember what year.
Okay.
Mid-90s, maybe? Early 90s? Where he did his spinning wheel of songs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just fantastic.
Right.
You spin the wheel, and they play that song.
He just...
I was freaking out when I went.
He brought that back within the last few years.
Did he?
Yeah, at the Riv, again.
At the Riv.
And then he just announced... every time after the festival, you get these spate of artists announcing the local shows. They've been holding off on until after the festival. And he's one of them. He's coming to the Vic.
He's playing the Vic?
So a smaller place for him. And
wow.
It's not a cheap ticket, by the way.
Of course. Well,
like $89 to $153, I think, was the price range or something crazy like that.
For a show at the Vic?
Yes.
Wow. Well, it's Elvis Costello.
It is Elvis. It's small room.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
You get a chance to see that guy, I would take it. I would.
It was a good show. It was great.
Save your pennies and try and go.
Closed up with his take on Nick Lowe's "What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding."
That's a great song.
A timely,
Yep. Absolutely.
Song there.
Okay, hang on.
Sure.
We have to break. Jim Ryan is with us. He's going through some of the great stuff that he saw at Riot Fest, and we will talk more about music coming up right after this on WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. Request them now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 a.m. And Steve Grzanich will be here at 5 with the opening bell. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. That's all coming up. Jim Ryan is with us right now. He writes about music for Forbes, the Daily Herald, and he has a Chicago Now blog called Chicago at Night, and you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you for having me.
And we were talking a little bit off the air about the fact that in addition to Elvis Costello and Gary Numan and all that stuff, you saw Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, let me tell you the headliners for Saturday Night Riot Fest. And you tell me what you think of this array of artists all performing at almost the same time.
Okay.
Beck, the Jesus Lizard, Jerry Lee Lewis, Gwar, and Andrew W.K.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
There's a lot to process there, right?
Absolutely. That's insane. Well, what did you choose?
I did Beck. I did all of Jerry Lee Lewis. I did all of Beck. It pains me to say that I skipped Andrew W.K. and Gwar.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you talked to Andrew W.K., though.
I did. And he's always great. I love him.
Yeah. So, first off, we were just discussing off the air that in 4 days?
Four days.
3 days, Jerry Lee Lewis will be 83 years old.
83.
And you said he can still play.
Yeah, I was impressed by the set. His band leader, his guitar player, Kenny Loveless, I think he's played with them for like 55 years or something.
Yeah.
So the band, it's Kenny Aronoff is his drummer. Who's great, too. He was the youngin' in the band, I think at 62, bringing youthful energy to the band.
Yeah.
But the band comes out and they play for like 15 minutes, and then they bring Jerry Lee out. And they do a lot of covers. They covered Gene Autry, Mexicali Rose. They covered Chuck Berry, Roll Over Beethoven. And then they get into Jerry Lee's tracks. And they covered, to me, it was one of the most fun moments of the weekend when Jerry Lee closed with Great Balls of Fire and Whole Lot of Shaking Going On.
Yeah. No, that's legendary. Yeah. That's legendary.
And I mean, vocally, obviously, he's lost his fastball at 82. But as far as the playing, and I'm sure a lot of it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
But man, he was still great on the piano.
Right.
And I posted a video on Facebook. It was unreal.
How did the crowd react? Did he draw?
It was, yes. So there was a good crowd over there, and it was one of the first times all weekend that this area broke out in front of me, and it was old people dancing.
That's great.
Old white men dancing.
That's fantastic.
To be real specific.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
That is really, that's really, really great. Now, Beck?
Beck was the best thing I saw all weekend.
Is that right?
He was absolutely terrific. 7-piece backing band. And I think you forget how many hits that guy has had over the course of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
He opened with Devil's Haircut and then went into Loser.
Mm.
You're getting Loser right out of the way early for...
Yeah.
If you came here for this,
yeah,
get the hell out.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was great.
So, but you didn't go to Gwar.
Didn't go to Gwar.
But you've
I stayed
seen
for Olbeck.
But you've
I have seen Gwar.
Yeah, okay. That's
I interviewed Gwar as well, by the way.
This year?
Yeah.
Whoa, what? How did that go?
It's always the most useless 2 minutes of audio I get at anything any year. It's ridden with swears and references to bodily fluids
yep.
that we won't talk about.
And, yep.
It's exactly what you'd expect out of a Gwar set condensed into 2 minutes.
Here's the thing that I've told everybody I know that there's at least one time in your life you have to see Gwar. And
I agree.
I don't own any Gwar records. I don't own any. I don't listen
There's
to Gwar.
There's no reason to.
I know. I don't listen to them.
A Gwar DVD, on the other hand, I would say, well, okay.
Yes.
There's a place for that in the collection.
Because it's performance art is what it is. And so, but I don't, so I was not, I don't know a song. I don't know one song by Gwar. You know, I can't tell the difference between any of the songs by Gwar. But I've seen them twice. And let me just say something. Phenomenal. But wear a rain slicker,
yes,
or be very far away from the stage.
A shirt you're willing to throw away.
Yes, because simulated bodily fluids fly out from every orifice of every character on the stage.
Yes, they do.
And let me just say this: the first time I saw them, no, both times I saw them at the Riv. But the first time I saw them, it was a wedding present from a friend of mine. For my wife and I.
Okay.
And
had your wife seen them?
No.
Oh, wow.
No. We had met, that's why she got this girl. She's crazy. And she was like, you gotta, I'm going to take you for your wedding, for your gift, I'm going to take you to see Gwar. And I'm like, well, thank you. That's fantastic. And I was like, I want to go see Gwar. But it was a wedding gift.
Sure. So you have to.
So
you can't return it.
And she's like, we're going to sit in the balcony. I just, you know, just make sure. Unless you guys want to go downstairs. And I'm like, no, I know what happens. So so we sat in the balcony. And Jim, I'm not kidding you. We were up in the balcony, and the fluids came very close to us. I mean, like, really, really uncomfortably close to us, to the point where, like, the bottom half, I would say the first, like, 6-7 rows of the balcony at the Riv, they put plastic on them.
And I remember a couple years at Riot Fest seeing them and walking up a couple songs into it, like as they were doing their like between song banter and theatrics.
Right.
And I'm pushing my way up front, and all of a sudden I kind of notice that I've hit a point where everyone standing next to me as I'm trying to squeeze through, their t-shirt is soaked in something red, and I'm like, uh-oh,
yeah.
retreat.
Oh, exactly.
And
yeah.
I had to move back about 10 feet, and then it was perfect.
It's a beautiful piece of theater.
It's something to see.
No, absolutely.
And it's unique.
And the music's crap, but it's just like, blah, 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 blah. But to watch these characters and the costumes that they put together and the theatrics that are there on stage, it's fantastic.
I thought it would have been amazing. That thing that they feed, you know, audience members to during the set, I thought it would have been interesting if they, you know, maybe brought out Jerry Lee and let him.
I think that would have been fantastic. That would have been fantastic. I just think the you know, the giving birth on stage, all of that and everything, what they do with the baby,
mm-hmm.
It is seriously, if you've never seen, I'm not kidding, and I don't, like I said, not a fan.
Yeah,
it's at least once in your life you need to see Gwar. That's my one piece of advice to anybody who goes to concerts. If you like really crazy theatrical stuff, you must see Gwar. If you want to be soaked in fluids, be near the stage. If not, get away from the stage and just enjoy it from a distance.
Right. I would second that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Every year I say the most interesting thing I see at any festival, the most boring thing at any festival is the media tent, right?
Yeah.
Like, it couldn't possibly be more boring. But the most interesting thing I see at a festival all year is, on an annual basis, them parading Gwar through the media tent and then watching how the media members interact with them, because that's fascinating.
It's great. I don't know. I love them. Love them. I think it's great. Okay, we got a break. Jim, hang on. News is up in 10 seconds. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. It is a Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. We'll be going to be talking about weird mascots, because the Philadelphia Flyers have unveiled their new mascot, Gritty, and had an interesting first day, Gritty did. So we'll talk about that. And Dazed and Confused this week, turns 25 years old, if you can believe that. It's the 25th anniversary of the great film Dazed and Confused, so we're going to talk about that movie and some stories about it, and also talk about great teen movies in general. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 if you would like to call us, talk, or text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, but the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. My guest right now in studio is Jim Ryan. He writes about music for Forbes, the Daily Herald. He's got a blog, Chicago at Night, on Chicago Now. You can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. We're back, Jim. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, tell me about the Bourbon and Beyond Music and Food Festival.
That was in Louisville this past weekend. This was an interesting weekend for festivals because there were a couple not far from each other. Bourbon and Beyond was going on in Louisville, of course, tying in the Bourbon Trail there.
Sure.
And then 20 miles south of Nashville was the Pilgrimage Music Festival, which was curated by the lead singer of Better Than Ezra, Kevin Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those were going on Saturday and Sunday, and both of them were impacted by the weather. Never fun.
Yeah.
In Louisville, we got through the entire day Saturday, but it rained all day Saturday, and it's about as muddy an experience as I've ever had at a festival.
Oh, boy.
We've seen a lot of rain at Lollapalooza. We've seen a lot of rain at Riot Fest. A couple of years ago, I went to the Beale Street Music Festival in Memphis, and it rained literally all 3 days. I thought that was pretty muddy. Nothing can hold a candle to what we experienced Saturday in Louisville, Kentucky.
That
it was
must
amazing.
Have been miserable.
It was quite something. So bad that I rolled over at 6:30 Sunday morning and looked at my phone, and they had already emailed, tweeted everything that the festival was canceled for Sunday.
Oh.
So I was like, all right, guess we're leaving. Guess we're coming back today.
And Sting, my man Sting.
Was one of the casualties, yes. We did not see Sting.
Oh, come on. Well, you got to wait when he shows up with Shaggy, because they're coming to the Aragon. I can't believe Sting is playing the Aragon.
Every Sting fan's dream to stand at the Aragon.
For Sting and Shaggy.
Sting fans have really been clamoring for that for years.
Yeah. I've been waiting to go back to the Aragon. You know, I am your I'm your average age for a Sting fan.
Yes.
You know, because the Police were my favorite band when I was in high school.
Okay.
Their first album came out my freshman year of high school, and their last album came out my senior year of high school. So for the 4 years I went to high school, it was dominated by the Police. And it was. I'm 53 years old now. So I'm like the median age, I think, of Sting's fans.
Sure.
Maybe a little bit younger.
Okay.
Possibly a little bit older.
No, yeah.
But I think I'm right there in the wheelhouse for like the correct age to be a Sting fan. And I don't want to stand in the Aragon.
Let's go through all of this. Were you clamoring for a collaboration with Shaggy?
No.
Were you clamoring for the Aragon?
I'm never clamoring for the Aragon. One, the sound sucks at the Aragon. It always has. It's always been. Whenever one of my favorite acts is playing the Aragon, I'm like, no, because the sound is terrible.
It is terrible.
It was not designed for those kind of concerts.
It's gotten better, and it's still terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was actually a great festival. It tied together. Again, this kind of gets back to what we were saying earlier, where I think people now want a unique experience, and they're certainly more willing to shell out and travel for that than they are a lineup that looks exactly the same 2 days later in Cleveland or wherever. So the lineup for Saturday, what we actually saw was Kebmo, Brian Setzer, Sheryl Crow, David Byrne, Lenny Kravitz, and John Mayer.
Now, did David Byrne do the moving around musicians the same show?
A shortened version of that. Yeah, he did an hour.
Yeah. Now, you saw him the last time
I did, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I would almost argue that this version, especially in the festival setting where you're not getting hardcore David Byrne fans, I almost think this version is better because really paring it down and focusing and then hitting those talking head songs that people know, I think it's an almost even more effective way to present that to fans who might not necessarily
know
hardcore.
This tour that David Byrne has been on and that he's been doing, there are no instruments on stage. When they come out, it's a bare stage, right?
Yeah, he comes out by himself to a bare stage. Yeah.
And then everybody who has an instrument is carrying it, including the drummers who have it strapped to them.
Right. So instead of one drummer, there's like six percussionists.
And they move around the stage.
They do.
Yeah.
Carrying a keyboard, carrying a bass.
It's such a crazy idea. And I saw some video of it, and it looks really cool.
Yeah. He at one point had 12 backing musicians on stage with him. Because again, you have six percussionists on some of these tracks.
Right.
But he went out of his way at the beginning of this tour to connect it to Stop Making Sense, which is a pretty bold thing for him because he never wants to look back at anything.
I know.
So for him to make that concerted of an effort, that's when I was intrigued before the yeah. tour started, and he nailed it. It's great.
Yeah. I remember when I first saw the movie Stop Making Sense, and then I went. It played the Fine Arts Theater down on South Michigan Avenue.
Okay.
Which, of course, is not theaters not right. there anymore. And it played there for months.
Wow.
And I went, I don't know, maybe every Friday night we would go. A bunch of us would go, what do you want to do? Let's just go see Stop Making Sense. And we would go to either 10 o'clock or a midnight show.
He's one of those artists who is consistent. I think what's defined his career, whether it's the Talking Heads or a solo, is just that ability, that desire to do something different at all times and, yeah. and push everything forward, whether it's the visual concert experience or, you know, on record experience. And he always does it.
Yeah, he does. And he's really funny too. I mean, mm-hmm. like he's got such a, and even in his performances, he's, you know, like that weird and really unique and really brilliant sense of humor comes
yeah.
through.
Mm-hmm.
And in songwriting as well. I mean, he's a really brilliant guy.
We missed out Sunday on Sting, Robert Plant, which
oh.
would have been great. I would have been curious to see how he would have changed it up in the festival setting.
Right.
Counting Crows, Government Mule, The Record Company, Don Felder from the Eagles, and the Magpie Salute, which is basically the Black Crows minus Chris Robinson. they've kind of regrouped under a name that references Black Crows.
Is the other Robinson brother in there?
Rich is there.
He is.
Rich is strumming the guitar.
Okay.
I spoke with Rich a couple weeks ago. They have their first album coming out. That'll be running at Forbes soon.
Okay. And what was that like?
Are you a Black Crows fan?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
I
love
yeah.
the Black Crows.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
this plays to what we talked about a little bit was Rich's desire to do more rocking stuff
yeah.
and Chris trying to turn it into the Grateful Dead, which if you've heard any of his solo work with the Chris Robinson Brotherhood, it's certainly slants more that direction.
Right.
So the Magpie Salute is a more rocking affair. It's him and Mark Ford, who performed on the first couple Black Crowes albums.
Mm-hmm.
He's back, so the two of them are playing together. And that's another one where it's like, I think like 12 or when I saw them at Metro last year, I think it was like 14 people on stage.
Jeez.
Full horn section. Yeah. They're terrific.
So that was canceled then.
Yeah, that was canceled on Sunday. So we'll see. They've been doing a lot of opening dates. They were in Tinley with Government Mule and the Avett Brothers.
Okay.
So they've been doing a lot of opening slots. We'll see if I would imagine there will be a headlining tour with that album coming shortly.
Okay. All right. So overall, an interesting fest. I mean,
yeah, it was cool.
Despite the rain and the mud.
I love that idea. You had all these panels and workshops on bourbon, and you had representatives from just about every, you know, bourbon company along the bourbon trail.
Yeah.
There for that. And then they also had the whole culinary experience wrapped in too. They had workshops with a bunch of celebrity chefs. Aaron Sanchez was there. Tom Colicchio was there. This was all on Sunday, by the way, so it was canceled. Stephanie Izzard was there. Yeah, so it was a bummer.
That was all canceled.
That was all on Sunday, yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. There were so many cool things. That was why we went to that one. Because I wanted to see something a little bit different.
Yeah, all of those, I happen to be like a maniac Food Network fan.
Okay.
And I love to cook.
Sure.
And I've had Stephanie on my show like four or five times, and I've been to Girl in the Goat a bunch of times.
Right.
And Colicchio.
Yeah.
And Aaron. I mean, come
I know.
On,
so
man!
I was really excited about
oh.
it. Sunday was, to me, was the better of the 2 days, because again, that Sunday schedule was stacked,
yeah.
too.
Wow, that's too bad.
Yeah, Counting Crows. I was supposed to interview Adam Duritz on Sunday.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen. Yeah, so it was kind of a bummer, but we got the better end of the deal, because down the street in Nashville.
Yeah, what happened down there?
They wound up canceling the Pilgrimage Festival before they got through half of it. The headliners didn't come out, and then they canceled Sunday altogether. So they missed out on the headliners. There were Chris Stapleton, Jack White, Lionel Richie, mm-hmm. and Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds.
Oh, come on now!
So two pretty great festivals going on not far from each other on the same 2 days, and both of them got nailed
sucks.
With the weather. But we got the better end of it in Louisville, because at least we had a full day
yeah. and mud.
Mm-hmm.
And
mud.
Also, you got the better end of it because you got a picture with Colonel Sanders.
I feel like that should be just the welcoming party when you cross the border from Indiana into Kentucky. Like, welcome to Kentucky. The colonel should just stand off to the side on I-65 waving.
Right.
But yeah, he was great. They again, this is the only interesting stuff that happens in the media tent at Riot Fest. They trot Guar through at. Fervent and Beyond, they trot Colonel Sanders.
There you go. This was like a guy dressed up like Colonel Sanders, obviously.
Did you see the picture?
I did.
I mean, he looks
exactly like him.
Yeah.
But
I would have taken Norm MacDonald, but yeah.
Because there's not like seven celebrity Colonel Sanders, because Jason Alexander is now Colonel
Jason
Sanders.
Alexander is a colonel?
He's a
colonel. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah,
okay.
Reba McEntire.
Reba.
Norm MacDonald. Jim Gaffigan.
Who's the old guy?
Jim Gaffigan. There was a.
I can't think of it. I can picture
George.
Him. George. Yes.
Hamilton.
Hamilton. Yes.
George
yes,
Hamilton.
Yes, yes.
So all of those people were have been celebrities.
To me, that could have been a culinary panel.
Yeah.
It could have been those guys breaking down chicken.
So, all right. Well, that sounds like. But actually, sounds like a really cool.
It was pretty
festival.
Good. I asked the colonel, I go, you know, he comes walking by and we take a photo and I go, hey, Colonel, I got a question for you. And I can immediately see the publicist marketing person who's walking with him cringe because obviously they don't want this. And I go, obviously, you know, Kentucky's known for their bourbon. I go, you know, as a fan of what I'm assuming is both, I go, what's the appropriate chicken to pair with a Kentucky bourbon? Would it be the original 12 herbs and spices, the extra tasty crispy? Which is it? And he looks at me puzzled for a second and just goes, I don't do talking points, son. I was like, okay.
He put you in your place,
so,
man.
And then he walked around, he was taking more pictures, and he came walking back up to me on the way out and goes, by the way, the colonel's a teetotaler. You had to think about it. I was like, oh, okay.
That's great.
Well,
right.
Good to know.
Hang on for a second, Jim. Jim Ryan is with us, hanging out with the colonel. And we'll come back and wrap this up with Jim. And we'll talk more about stuff that he's written about, people he's interviewed, and music in general. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here. And joining me live in studio is our good friend Jim Ryan, who writes about music for Forbes, the Daily Herald, and the Chicago Now blog, Chicago at Night. And you can follow him on Twitter at Radio Jim Ryan. And we're talking music. And off the air, the Buffalo Tom was the day you moved.
It was the day I moved. I had returned the moving truck to the Home Depot in Evanston and was standing there looking at my watch at 7:45 going, do I go down there? I don't know what time they go on. I don't know if there's an opener. I'm really tired.
There was an opener, and they didn't go. They were supposed to go on at 8.
Okay.
They didn't go on until 8:15. And they were supposed to play 8 to 9. All right.
Wow.
And then take a break and play a second set 9:15 and be done by 10.
Okay.
And the reason why they scheduled it that way was because they wanted to kind of stagger it. Because across the street at Wrigley was Fall Out Boy that night. And so it was a madhouse. It was really funny, though. My parents and I see him. My parents and I go to the movies every Saturday.
Sure.
We go see a movie together. And we went to go see that terrible Jennifer Garner movie, Peppermint, which is just...
Okay.
I'm not saying the movie was racist, but there's a scene in the movie where she kills 20 Hispanics in a pinata factory. Yeah, and I'm not making that up. That's real.
In 2018. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Bold.
So, anyway, we saw that piece of crap, and then, my parents were like, we'll give you a lift to the Metro. And I'm like, okay, it's going to be crazy. I just want you to know it's going to be crazy. And
at 8 o'clock, too.
I got down there early because I went backstage.
Okay.
So I wanted to hang out with the guys. And so I got there like 10 to 7.
Okay.
And it was crazy. But it wasn't insane. It was insane afterwards. Trying to get home after the show was insane.
After those Wrigley shows, it's nuts.
It's completely crazy.
Yeah.
And but it was what was really funny is as we were driving down Clark, because we took Irving down, and as we were driving, down Clark, we started to notice, you know, crowds build up and start walking. And I told my parents, I'm like, listen, here's the deal, we can really absolutely spot the Fall Out Boy fans from the Buffalo Tom fans. Because if you see some middle-aged guys, maybe with beer bellies and some gray hair,
some flannel,
they're going to see Buffalo Tom.
Right.
anybody under 40 is going to see.
I was going to say, what's the age? Where do we draw the line?
I would say 40 okay. is because most of the crowd late 30s youngest at Buffalo Town.
I know, I'd be on the young end,
and
a lot of
guys, and a lot of guys.
sounds right.
But they were amazing, as they always are, and they did their first set was just a bunch of different songs. They did three songs off the latest record, and then a bunch of classics. And Bill Janovitz was kind enough to dedicate a song to me from the
Very
stage.
Cool.
And I got like a little bit of a round of applause because he said one of our biggest supporters has always been Nick DiGilio from WGN Radio, and I hear,
hey,
I was like, all right,
two people though,
and he dedicated Wiser to me, which is one of my favorite Buffalo Tom songs, and so that was a highlight. So then they took a break, and then they came back out and played all of Let Me Come Over.
That's fantastic.
And it was the 25th anniversary, even though it's the 26th now at this point. But then they had like a multimedia thing happening that Tom's daughter put together.
Oh, wow.
And it played back with old pictures of them and old images and stuff from the Let Me Come Over sessions it was playing.
Okay.
They played the whole thing, and then Theo Epstein came out.
Oh, okay.
With Dag Julin. And they played The Seeker by The Who.
Cool.
And then one more song, they played they played Crutch from the Let Me Come Over bonus.
Nice.
It was a fantastic show.
What time did they finally wrap up?
10:30-ish.
That's a solid set.
Yeah, 10:30-ish, something like that. Yeah, they
over
went
2 hours from Buffalo Town.
Absolutely.
That's
pretty
great.
Got to hang out with them afterwards, and it was was really funny is that there was a doubleheader that night for the Cubs, and they were playing in Washington.
Okay.
And because of the weather, they were still playing. So I'm talking to Theo Epstein, not to drop names or anything, but I'm hanging out with Theo Epstein and Joe Shanahan, and we're all talking, and Theo's got his phone, and all of a sudden, Bryce Harper hits a home run, a two-run home run, and he looks at it, and he's like, God. And he got really upset, and I'm like, what happened? He's like, Harper just hit a home run, and then he said some very unkind things about Bryce Harper, which I won't repeat.
We could draw some inferences there, huh? Yeah.
But they're one of my favorite bands of all time, Buffalo Tom, and they're consistently great. And,
yeah, they are.
And
the new album is really good.
It's terrific. And but it was a great night, real special night. And Bill didn't have to shout out from the stage, but he did. And
That's pretty cool.
It was really, really
special. I'm sorry I missed that, actually.
Yeah, no, it was a good show, man.
Because I don't know when I'm going to get a chance again. That was my motivating. I'm like, man, they don't do this a lot.
They don't do it a lot. I don't think you're going to get a chance for a while.
Yeah.
For a while. You know, they're all in their 50s. They all got kids and stuff, So... But it was a great show, and the first time I've ever met Dag Julin.
Okay,
never met him before.
I've never met him, but I enjoy his.
He's an
incredibly
nice guy.
Okay,
like he came up to me and he's like, "Hey, it's great to meet you," and he's like really nice. And
nice.
I've seen Poi Dog a bunch of times, and I've he's obviously a legend.
He was at the Hot Stove Cool Music Benefit too, and he was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but it was a fun night.
Awesome.
It was a fun night. Now, what are you looking forward to? What are you seeing?
I've got an interview coming up Wednesday. I'm excited about. I'll have Joey Santiago from the Pixies on the phone.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Speaking of Boston.
So that's going to be great.
Oh, man.
They've got a reissue, I think it's getting the box set crazy treatment. They're doing a combination of Come On Pilgrim and Surferosa.
Come on now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that'll be running probably in the next couple of weeks, first week or so of October at Forbes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And are there any shows coming
up? They haven't announced the schedule yet, but I would imagine those would be coming quickly.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So it'll be good.
All right. Well, Jim, always a pleasure, man.
Thank you.
Lots of fun. And say hi to the Colonel for me. Oh, by the way, I just want to mention this. You posted, finally, a crowdfunding campaign I can get behind.
Ah, yes.
Gary Busey is crowdfunding a debut single.
I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah.
Can we get him on the show?
Oh, yeah. We're close personal friends. You know that.
I think that's a single that needs to be broken down in excruciating detail as if it was like a Beatles studio creation. I want to hear all about, the backing tracks. Right. I want to hear about the analog sessions, everything.
I'm sure it's going to be a fascinating story. Jim, always a pleasure, man.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good one. We'll take a break here, and the news is next.